Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. The Jags and the Bengals coming up on Sunday Night Football. We are on the air now right after the Gus Bradley radio show. Each and every Thursday, we'll go through the left tackle spot. Kelvin Beachum is going to get some time this week. We'll talk a little run game tonight, too. That's been a big part of the preseason so far for the Jaguars offense. Some Dante Fowler. What do you want to see out of the second-year defensive end against Cincinnati, and we'll go around the National Football League as well. We start off with some news that just came out from the Jaguars about Jags owner Shad Khan, added to a couple of committees in the NFL owners' circle, joined and named chairperson of the league's Business Ventures Committee, and is also joining the NFL Network Committee. He'll also continue to serve on two other committees, Health and Safety and Finance. That was announced just, a few minutes ago. 20 minutes ago by the Jaguars. So congrats to Shad Khan.
No, it's good. I mean, obviously his experience with business and finance, all those things are going to help. The NFL Network thing is going to be interesting. I mean, that's been a league-owned operation now for a number of years. Not sure what the profitability of it is. But it's good. It's good exposure for the Jaguars, him being on those committees.
No doubt.
Tony, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, there you go. That's all you got.
I mean, yeah, he is. I think he's perfect. I mean, obviously, he's a successful businessman. So if you're going to have anybody on that committee from the NFL, he's a guy we know the story well. He, built his company up from the ground and is a great American story of how he's built a business and to a worldwide enterprise and buying this team and buying a soccer team in London and all this other stuff. So I think he's the perfect fit for that committee.
Let's get to football, guys. Biggest news, Kelvin Beachum's getting some time, going to get it at left tackle. Jokel's going to play some left guard. And is that the starting five you want?
That's the starting five in a perfect world they want.
If everybody's healthy and playing good.
Right, if everyone's healthy. If Kelvin Beachum's healthy, which I believe he will be, the reports, I mean, practice is closed, so we don't get to watch it. But the reports we're hearing and what he's doing out there, he's doing a lot of stuff, doing live drills, one-on-ones, and everything else, and that he's going to get reps this week, and he's going to play in the game. And if everything goes as is planned, my guess is he gets 10 to 15 reps with Luke Jokel at guard, and if it goes well, maybe you give him a rep. I don't think you give him anything in the fourth preseason game if it goes well. Let him rest that knee, and then you dial it up for Green Bay, and the starting five will be Kelvin Beachum, Luke Jokel, Brandon Linder, A.J. Cann, and Jeremy Parnell.
I can't imagine Kelvin Beachum getting any snaps in the last preseason game. You're talking because, you got a Sunday night national TV game. The
too
last
short.
Game's Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's just too short. Too short of time. And that's why it was – I don't want to say it was imperative that he get snaps this week, but it's very important that he gets snaps.
I would say it's imperative.
And I think it's very important that Luke Jokel gets snaps at guard.
That's more imperative.
and here's the thing. Welcome to left guard. Guess who you get to block? Maybe the best pass-rushing defensive tackle in the National Football League in Geno Atkins.
Aaron Donald might argue with you, but one of the two.
Geno's done it longer.
It's,
but, I mean, it's
one or one
very
A.
good player.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
Really good player.
It'll be a great test. Great measuring stick and a great opportunity for Luke to go out there and get comfortable and listen. It might not be perfect, but that's all right. Go out there and get some reps and get used to it and – I think he'll be just fine.
I hope that our Jaguars.com camera guys, okay, and I know they're listening, I would have cameras literally dialed in on Beachum and Jokel in this game. Both of them.
ISO both of them.
Absolutely. Huh? I mean, a lot of people would say, let's just ISO Kelvin Beachum because he's returning.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, to me, one of the main attractions of Kelvin Beachum playing is Luke Jokel sliding to left guard. And Geno Atkins is a premier player. Last year, a couple years ago, he tore an ACL. For 1 year, he wasn't the same player. Last year, he got back to being that player. And so now he's, going to be 3 years removed from an ACL. And how many sacks did he have that 1 year?
I think he had 10 from the three technique position.
No, I think he had more than that. I want to say he had more.
Double digits.
I'd have to look it up. Yeah. But it was double digits. I mean, he was consistently around those double-digit numbers for a number of years, and he's got strength and quickness and short area quickness. I mean, he is a tough matchup for anybody.
And the thing about it is that this is the group you want to go with. And so you want to see them play together and see how it looks and get not just individually, but them working together and communicating and, you know, on passing downs, the twist game and picking up stunts and combo blocks together. I think that's all so important. And I'll be telling Jeff, listen, for the first 10 to 15 plays, you watch everything else. I'm going to be watching those guys.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
And that's what we're going to be talking about Sunday night. I mean, Tony will be dialed in watching those guys. I'll have an eye to them and then also be looking at elsewhere. But
well, someone has to.
That is literally the star power of that matchup. I mean, of that matchup. The Jaguars' offense versus the Bengals' defense. You know, and it's crazy because if that were settled, okay, let's say that those are your starting two. What would be the premier matchup? Well, Geno Atkins would still be an attractive matchup, but the next matchup wouldn't be the left tackle position versus Michael Johnson. Mm-hmm. If this were a regular season game, it would be Carlos Dunlap versus Jeremy Parnell. And Carlos Dunlap is a fantastic player. Big, strong.
Very long.
And
really long.
Really long and strong. And so that's a great matchup for Jeremy Parnell. It's a great test for him. You know, so, I mean, this is one of those games where when the game is complete on Sunday night, Monday morning, I can't wait to watch the film.
Well, and the reality is nobody has stopped this Jaguar offense yet in two preseason games. Outside the coaches. The first team. Outside the coaches going on the field and making them first and 21.
Right.
Nobody else has stopped them. And so what a great opportunity against one of the better defenses in the AFC, one of the better teams in the AFC, going against this young Jaguar team that we've seen progress and do some really nice things in both sides of the balls, especially offensively. I think it's a great test. And it's something I'm looking forward to. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't think any of us love the preseason. We like for the first 5 minutes because it gets real, some football. But we're talking in the first break. Jeff and I are like, can't wait for the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
But this right here.
Oh, no. First half?
This is the game.
Yeah. This first half. I'm looking forward to Sunday night for the first half.
This is a difficult question because we don't know exactly Beecham's situation. Are you comfortable with him going into the third quarter if the starters come back out?
No.
No, he's not.
You're not going to go that far.
I don't think he'll get into the second quarter.
Yeah, first quarter tops.
And you move Jokel back outside?
Yeah, I think it's 15 plays. Yeah. 10 to 15.
Okay.
I think that's a good first step. And, you know, when the guys come back from ACL, I mean, that's typically kind of how it works. You know, the first game back, it's, you know, 10, 12 snaps. And then if there is a second game that he's going to play in, it gets bumped up to maybe 20. And then
he's going to go from 10 to 15 to 60.
Yeah, that's the big jump, right? To opening day, all of a sudden.
From 10 to 15 in preseason week three to the opener maybe playing the entire game.
That's what I did.
That's the thing.
And you were good with that?
I went from 10 plays to the entire game.
And that's the thing. If he's going to be active on game day, he's got to be ready to go the whole game now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be one of these things, in the opener. Well, you know what? We're targeting him for 30 snaps, and then we're going to move Jokel out to left tackle.
You're going
to
play.
Yeah, I mean, once you play, you play. Yeah. There's no coming out after, you know, X number of snaps once you get to the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, the scoreboard starts counting.
Be interesting to watch this week. That's one of the things to watch, of course, this week. On the other side, we'll get to some defensive stuff coming up, but Jalen Ramsey last week and the matchup he's going to have this week, the corners against this receiving group for the Bengals.
I was going to say
that's probably the second best matchup.
Well, I don't know what's better. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, obviously, because I played the offensive line position and it's been a big story in camp and we want to see Kelvin Beecham out there. And I think we all believe the best five guys up front include Kelvin Beecham and Luke Jokel on the field at the same time. So I'm looking forward to that. But I think the premier matchup that is really going to excite me is every time Jalen Ramsey is lined up on A.J. Green.
That would be the number one storyline besides quarterbacks. You know, if the network is covering a game, national, I guarantee you that that's what they're going to be talking about. They're going to be talking about A.J. Green, Jalen Ramsey, and then they're going to be talking a lot about Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles, but they won't match them up against anybody. It won't be a marquee matchup kind of a thing. It'll be just talking about them. But, I mean, that's right. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Green.
Yeah, really cool to see.
And it's good because, you know.
He shut down Evans last week.
Well, Evans is not a speed guy.
Right.
You know, Evans is a big guy.
Big guy.
That, you know, and his forte has always been he uses his size to dominate the ball. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, if the quarterback's in a pinch and he's got single coverage, throw it, and he's just going to use his body size to win. You know, whereas A.J. Green has size and he has rare speed to be where he can run deep and run people and by people.
And let's just be clear. A.J. Green is in a different league than Mike Evans.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to compare the two.
I mean, let's make sure that, I mean, yes. JP, I mean, I don't want to confuse the audience
with your
comments. But
appreciate it.
A.J. Green's one of the best five receivers in football. Maybe one of the best three. Maybe it's him and Julio Jones. I mean, it's him, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham's up. I mean, but it's rare air when you're talking to A.J. Green.
My apologies, but came across as a – you know, comparing the two.
I mean, Mike Evans isn't as good as Allen Robinson.
No.
And so, I mean, that was a nice matchup last week, and Mike Evans does give you challenges because of his size and his strength, and he's an outstanding player. I'm not taking anything away from him.
This is a different level.
I mean, this is Jalen Ramsey. The closest he has seen to A.J. Green is working against Allen Robinson in practice, and Allen Robinson isn't at A.J. Green's level yet.
Not yet.
I think he can get there, but he's not there yet. A.J. Green, from the day he stepped into the NFL, has been a special player.
Yeah, A.J. Green's got a little bit more speed than A-Rob.
You know, he's not as physical as A-Rob, though.
Yeah, he's not as physical, but he's got better speed than A-Rob. At least on game day. I don't know what they are on the clock because it doesn't matter. It's what you do on the field. But, I mean, A.J. Green's one of those guys that when he runs, he can run right by you.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a great test for Jalen Ramsey because now you have a long, lean guy who can fly.
I made the comment during the Gus Bradley show, you know, because I was reading Jalen Ramsey's comments to an interview, and they were asking him about the adjustment to the speed of the game in the National Football League, and it's like, well, I didn't really see any adjustment. and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, of course you don't think there's an adjustment in speed because when you walked out to the NFL practice field and game field, you're still the fastest guy out there.
Did you feel the speed of the game change when you got in the NFL?
Oh yeah.
See, it was interesting for me because I didn't get a play in the preseason because I got my knee scoped, and so my first game was Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers on national television.
Against Sean Jones,
who's a 100-plus sack guy. And I'll be honest with you, I was nervous as all get out, but I never. From the first play out, never felt the speed. I never felt overwhelmed or the game was too fast. And that was never, you know, the guys were bigger and stronger, but I never felt like, oh my gosh, things are flying around and I'm trying to keep up. It's just, I think everybody's a little bit different.
I can tell you, I thought the
and
game
maybe the
was
position,
faster.
And maybe the position, too, kind of dictates that. I mean, my position is like, better go because that guy's right there and he's coming.
Yeah, I just remember when in college, you know, we never really had a lot of man coverage in college. And then my rookie year, Cleveland Gary was a running back for the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams. And we were playing out there in L.A. and I had to cover him and he was a legitimate 4-4 running back.
That didn't work out very
and
well.
I got man coverage on him. You know, and I think my best 40 time ever was maybe a 4.78. You know, and I'm covering a guy who runs 4.42. 4.45.
That's bad defense.
And I just remember Gary. That's what I could see. Okay, I could see his nameplate on the back of his jersey, and I'm going, I can't run with that guy. Why'd they try to even put me on him?
And I wonder if it's a little bit because there are different positions, like a linebacker where Logs played. Mm-hmm. You're reading stuff, and so trying to read and decipher, I can see where the game is, like, flying around. Left tackle, I got to block this guy.
Block that one guy.
And a corner has to read. Jalen Ramsey has to read, but it's just so fast.
But the difference is also a corner, if you're in coverage, I got to cover that guy. And if you're a special athlete like Jalen, there's not as much thinking. There's certain positions that are really hard. Corner is one of the hardest positions to play in football because of the demands you have and you're on an island and you're one-on-one.
But not mentally.
But not. It's not as hard from the standpoint of You're not reading a bunch of different things. I mean, if you're a heavy zone team, it is, but it's just different. And same with offensive tackle. At the end of the day, you know, especially the way our offense was very difficult for a tackle because we didn't slide, we didn't help. It was like you're one-on-one with that guy and block him. So from a physical standpoint, it was difficult. But from the mental standpoint, it wasn't like I'm the center trying to decipher, you know, the front and everything else. So I think every position is a little bit. So I understand what Jalen Ramsey was saying there.
Single game tickets for the regular season opener against the Packers are sold out. There are season ticket packages remaining with Packers tickets included. Call 904-633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com for more information. We'll go defense. Dante Fowler Jr. when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
The thing that we're challenging Dante on right now is being a pro, you know, being great in the classroom, taking it from the classroom to the field, studying more tape on his own. You know, so we're really pressuring him right now to become a pro as an early age.
You know, I think you have to do that with every young player. They don't know what the league is like and what they have to do. And, you know, we set some things out for him. You got to do this, you got to do that, and he's reaching those expectations.
That's defensive coordinator Todd Wash earlier this week discussing Dante Fowler Jr. We'll have a chance Sunday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, we talked about him all offseason program, about how he's flashing and he's fast in early part of training camp. And then the Bucs came in, got slowed down a little bit in that one, didn't do much in the game against the Bucs.
Well, you got to go all the way back before then. I mean, the Jets game, he wasn't a factor. And I'm not being critical of him. I mean, that was the first game that he's ever played at the National Football League level, and it's his first time that he's played since he's had a major knee surgery. So you would expect a little bit of, you know, maybe overwhelming, you know, kind of sense of adrenaline sometimes can happen. You know, but then the Bucs game and the Bucs week, I mean, he got stoned. I mean, he got a good dose of reality, which you need to have sometimes as a young player to make you understand that these are the steps that I need to take to become successful at this level. And both Tony and I agreed in that his greatest attribute, and we talked about this on the Gus Bradley Show, his greatest attribute is his speed and athleticism and his quickness. Well, when you run into 330-pounders directly, where's the speed and the quickness and the athleticism being utilized? You can't. You've got to get big guys out in space to be able to have those type of skill sets work.
We said it during camp, or at least I did, and I know Jeff agreed. It's one thing to do it in practice. And we've all seen a lot of guys who can dominate practices because of their athletic ability and everything else. But then it's – now I got to learn how to do it in the context of a game, and this is where young pass rushers always struggle. And some of the greatest ones that struggled early is you now have to transition – the athletic ability, all that you're doing, and also understand what the offense is trying to do in schemes and responsibility and get a game plan of against who you're playing and what they're trying to do to you. And so the complexity is added to the nth degree. And sometimes that slows guys down a little bit. And you have to learn, and that's what Todd Wash is saying, learning to be a pro, learning to study, learning to have a game plan, learning to understand who you're playing against in all the different aspects. And then on top of that, you're talking about a guy who didn't play defensive end at Florida. He was not a natural pass rusher. He was a great ball hawk, a great athlete, a great football player. And he will be a good pass rusher. I have no doubt about that. It's just that it's going to take time. And he's got to continue to grow.
Didn't we talk about this back in the offseason?
We did. And I think it's going to be – now, I think it'll be a quick learning curve for him because he is such a talented dude. But I also – and we said this early, and we all got excited when we saw him practice. But the reality is he's got to learn how to play a position he didn't play in college after not playing football for 18 months and come out and do it. And there's going to be some – tough days, and he had a tough week in Tampa. He has a great opportunity again this week. He's going to get more reps. That's why, and Jeff and I talked about it on the broadcast when they play Tampa. I think they should be playing. He should have got more reps in that game as a third down nickel rusher. I don't care about first and second down. He just needs reps. He just needs opportunities. He's going to be fine. But the only way you get better is repping it and getting beat and understanding what you can and can't do, getting a game plan, watching film, all the things Todd Wash said. And so I'm looking forward to he's going to have over a half of reps. And he needs every one of them.
Yeah, and I think I agree with Tony that we, you know, it would have been nice to see him go as long as the first team Bucks offensive line, the tackles were out there to continue to allow him to get reps on third down.
Jeff, and, I wouldn't even mind him getting get some reps against a backup. Have some success.
Yeah, maybe get some confidence.
Have some success. Yeah. I mean, no. That's important for a player.
There's nothing wrong with that. But he is such a freakish athlete. In fact, this week on Jaguars.com Film Room Friday, we're going to look at some of these young players.
Yes.
The young blood of the defense, you know, Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack and Dante Fowler. But there was one play in particular that stood out that Dante Fowler had. And Tony, you probably remembered it from watching the film. He comes in and Jameis Winston pump fakes the quick screen to the left. And Dante leaves his feet. So he's thinking he's got to block a pass. But then Jameis fakes the throw and then hands the ball off. Well, in a matter of seconds, Dante goes from, oh, I've got to knock the pass down, jumping, but then coming down, landing on his feet, engaging the offensive tackle, and then shucking the offensive tackle, and then falling back inside, which could have been a tackle, but because the play on the front side by Malik Jackson wasn't particularly good, there was a big hole, and the running back went through. If it was kind of stuffed up a little bit, it allowed time for Dante Fowler. But just watching the athleticism, you sit there and you watch it, and you go, there's very few people that could do that. Very few. The reaction time, the quickness, the change of direction, all of that. You just go, wow. So you know he's going to be fine. But as a pass rusher, there's so much more to being a pass rusher than being just an athlete. I mean, there's having a plan. There's understanding guys' weaknesses. It's snap counts. It's down a distance in the offensive tendencies to know when you can rush the passer. I mean, there's a lot to it and a lot that he's got to understand.
Yeah, the one thing I'd like to see is on third down, get a little wider. Get away from that big guy. Get a little wider and stress him with your speed. You know, get a little wider, point in, and just come. And I promise you, with the athletic ability that he has, he's going to put a little bit of fear, and especially because not every tackle is a great athlete. Some of them are just good football players that, you know, understand, you know, angles and everything else. Stress them. Make them move their feet. You know, one of the things to beat an offensive lineman is you have to get them off balance. Get their feet moving. Get them out of sorts a little bit. Then you can do anything you want. Then you can power them because they're on their heels. Their feet are all messed up. They're off balance. Now you can do whatever you want. But if you let that guy be comfortable, he's going to block you in the NFL. They're just too good. And Dante will be fine. He'll be fine. What Jeff said is exactly right. A little bit of dose of reality. It's not that easy.
He's not going to have an easy matchup this week either. Watch the Cincinnati Bengals Lions tape today.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Fisher, who was a high pick for the Bengals last year, got hurt in that game. Tony wouldn't have liked to have seen this. The running back Giovanni Bernard is going to block a guy, and he gets too wide. The linebacker comes underneath, and Giovanni Bernard essentially tackles the blitzer.
Throws him in the back of the leg.
And then tries to torque him like Wydell did the guy that threw him. He threw the guy into Mark Brunell's legs.
Jesse Armstead.
Okay. Giovanni Bernard torques the linebacker right into the leg of the young tackle, Jake Fisher. And so Jake Fisher comes out, and then Eric Winston, who's been in the league now in his 10th year out of the University of Miami, longtime Houston Texan. And you talk about two tackles that they have good sets, they understand angles, they're big, they're strong. This is going to be an excellent game for Dante Fowler.
Now, Jake's and Fisher's out this game.
Right? Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
That's what I'm saying. Eric Winston's going to be in there.
A veteran guy who understands. Now, but that's a perfect example I was talking about. Not a great athlete anymore. He's up there in age, but he's cagey.
And strong.
Stress him. Make him move his feet.
That'll be interesting to watch. Now, Todd Wash said something earlier that most young players in the league have to learn this, right? They have to learn to be a – for a guy like Dante, he was so much better than everybody else in college. Maybe he didn't have to do that other stuff off the field to be as successful, right? Is that something to do with it?
If you remember watching Dante in film, he was like a roamer.
Right. He just, wherever he went, he went.
He played inside sometimes. Right. He blitzed. He stood up outside, come off the edge. He was in coverage. I mean, he was just a football player.
So he doesn't have to study the matchup against that tackle as much as he has to now.
Not only that, but go back and look, and I mean, I haven't done it, but it'd be interesting. How many times did Dante Fowler have his hand in the ground at Florida?
Not a lot.
Yeah,
it's a different position.
Not a lot. So it's going to take some time. But you know, when you talk about guys that are superior physical skills, okay, that had that from the very beginning, it takes that dose of reality to make them come to the realization. Okay, it's not a matter of just showing up and working hard and playing hard. Now I got to put the mental aspect to match the physical part of it as well.
Everybody's a grown man in this league. That's the way it works. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. We'll discuss the Jags' run game, the consistency so far, and can it continue? That's after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Said about the growth of the offensive line. We like the talent that both Chris and TJ bring, and really the group as well. Denard Robinson's had a good preseason as well, but that growth of that position, the running back position, but a lot, it's also Blake Bortles' growth as a quarterback as well, and understanding fronts and what run plays we like into what fronts. So we're able to do more at the quarterback position in terms of getting us out of bad runs into, you know, good runs. So it's kind of a collaborative effort amongst everybody on the offensive side.
Offensive coordinator Greg Olson earlier this week. By the way, World Cup soccer coming to Jacksonville. Clinton Dempsey and the U.S. men's national team will take on Trinidad and Tobago September 6th. Get complete details and buy your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. You might hear some vuvuzelas. And if you could buy your tickets right
some
now.
What? Hear some what?
Vuvuzelas. That's his buzz.
They're the most annoying thing ever. They started, the first time they came was the World Cup at South Africa.
Right.
Turn that off.
Yeah, also.
It's really annoying, Joe.
Sounds like killer bees. Not that I've ever heard killer bees, but I've heard bees in a giant swarm like that before, and that's what it sounds like.
You can go to Ticketmaster.com to buy, or first caller in right now, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, gets a pair of tickets to that September 6th game. Run game. It's been consistent the first couple of games of this preseason. Ivory brings a thump that we haven't had around here in a long time, it seems like, so far.
Wait a minute now. Maurice Jones-Drew had a pretty good thump.
Okay.
That wasn't that long ago.
Okay. Well, I was in the last year.
I mean, all the opposing coaches used to term Maurice Jones-Drew as a rolling ball of butcher knives.
Okay. Well, that's been 5 years ago.
No,
that was the last year he played here.
Yeah, like it's like decades or something.
Yeah. Either way, that was the last time there was a thumper here. Smart Alec.
I had to play the role of Tony
and
there.
I was going to say, I actually agreed with you, JP, but I mean, I'll go with logs on that one, I guess.
Okay, whatever.
I was with you.
Right.
But he had a convincing argument, and I was disappointed. You really backed down way too fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
No, you backed down too fast. You should have held your ground and said, no, in today's world, in the NFL, 5 years is a lifetime ago.
A lot of players don't last 5 years.
That's right. You should have stuck to your guns.
The best part about Ivory is that the styles of running between TJ and Yeldon, between TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory are very distinct. You know, so, you know, I think it's easier to prepare as a coordinator, you know, because you hear defensive coaches always talk about tackling plans and that, you know, we've got to have a tackling plan for this guy. We have a tackling plan for this guy. Well, when you have to have two different tackling plans for two different backs because TJ is a slasher, he avoids contact, and he's very shifty, whereas Ivory is going to run you over or run through you. And I think that's real – a big positive for this offense of having two different types of backs because it's going to stress defenses.
No, I agree. He is listen, you need two backs in today's NFL. You really do, the way that the league's going and the pounding that they take. You see it all the time that guys who get too many carries aren't quite the same back. Only the special ones really can take the workload year after year after year. And you want to extend their careers as long as possible to get the most out of them. And having both TJ and Chris Ivory is going to be a great benefit because of the complementary running styles they have of each other. They both bring unique aspects and talents to the field. And I thought last year was something they missed was that physical presence in the backfield. Taking nothing away from TJ, he had an outstanding rookie year. If you look at what he was able to do, his ability on third down to block, pick up, blitzes. I mean, it was outstanding. But having that change of pace where someone can smack you in the face, this team lacked that last year.
And come in rested.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got a back that comes in and he's full of energy and he's fresh, I mean, you can see it in the preseason when these two guys rotate. Now, and the best part of it is that, you hopefully get a situation that becomes competitive. You know, who wants the bulk of the snaps? Who's going to be the hot hand in that game? You know, because, I mean, it's no different than, I keep going back to this, but, I mean, it's applicable here, Keenan and Jimmy. Although Chris and TJ are at one position, I don't think it's any different. You know, you get guys that are competing for playtime and snaps in a game, and that's the perfect scenario to have. And it's the perfect balance for Dave Caldwell because you have, a guy on his rookie contract and you have a guy on a free agent contract. That's the perfect situation to have.
And that could change week to week even. If there's a certain matchup that favors Ivory over Yeldon or vice versa, you can just start that guy.
Right? Or different plays. Or, I mean, Greg Olsen, okay, we like these plays for Chris. We like these plays for TJ. Now, you don't want to get too much into that, to where when teams are lining up, okay, well, they're going to see this run with TJ and you're going to see this run with Chris Ivory. It's a great situation to be in. Hopefully they come out of this last preseason game to which they're going to be playing a significant amount of time. They come out healthy. Hopefully everybody comes out healthy. But you want to go into the year having two backs because, to be perfectly honest with you, once you get past those two, is there another guy that could step in and rotate?
Well, I think you can get spot duty from Denard, but it's a drop-off.
Yeah,
a
regular
it's
a rotation. It's a significant drop-off. I hate to say it, But, I mean, that's the way it is in the NFL. I mean, once you get past you get past one, that's a drop-off.
How many teams have three backs where there's no drop-off?
How many have one and there's a drop-off? A lot.
A lot. That's my point. So I don't think you can look at that and say, well, that's just life.
No, but you hope that stays intact.
They stay healthy. That's what you want for this entire team. I mean, the NFL, half the battle – is keeping your best players on the field throughout the season so you're playing your best football in December.
Part of Olsen's comments at the start of the segment was Blake Bortles, play calling, maybe changing some things at the line. That might be a different aspect of his game this year he might not have had in years before to get out of bad runs or get into good runs.
Maturity. That's maturation. That's all that is. That's the evolution every young quarterback goes through. They start, they are clueless, holding on to their rear end and just trying to find the guy who's in the right color jersey open. Then the next year they understand what their offense is trying to do and they start recognizing defenses, and then they go to the point they say they know what the defense is trying to do and they know what we're trying to do and here's the best way to attack it. And then they continue to get more and more in the index of their mind, the file cabinet of their mind that they can pull from when they recognize things and say, you know what, this front with that coverage too, it's split safeties, they like to do this, I know where I want to go and what the best play is for this situation. And that, it's just a progress. It doesn't happen overnight. And the exciting thing is with Blake, you see the progress in the evolution happening right in front of you. And for him to be able to do what he did last year where he was in the process was outstanding. Everyone talks about, well, he needs to throw less interceptions. Well, okay, that's a very obvious statement. My guess is if you throw one, you'd like to throw less. But I'm okay with it because the upside and the progress was so great last year. And I think he's had a great camp and a great preseason so far. Jeff mentioned in the coaches show that, completion percentage over 77%. Now, do I expect that to stay like that all year? No. But I think what that gives you a sign of, he's going to be a mid-60 completion guy. And that's outstanding.
Yeah, which would be, that'd be a significant improvement from last year.
Big step. He's, 58 last year.
That's right. 58 and change.
But even his progression as a signal caller at the line, getting those run plays right, that helps the pass game too. That balance of this offense, it's the play calling, it's the thump in the backfield with the two backs, it's the offensive line doing what they do, and having all that together will help everybody.
Well, I mean, perfect example of that, and I pointed out on Jaguars All Access Monday night, was you look at the two touchdown passes that Blake has had in the preseason, which he should have had one against the Jets.
Should have had three right now.
And then you have the first touchdown pass. Which one was that? It was to TJ.
Yeldon, yep.
Okay, that was a 2nd and 5 after a 5-yard gain by Chris Ivory. The touchdown pass to Allen Hurns was a 2nd and 1 after a 9-yard gain by, I think it was Chris Ivory. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you got, you know, 2nd and 5, 2nd and 1 as – you know, a coordinator, you talk about, you know, him handling it, you know, at the line of scrimmage to put them in the best situation. Talk about it from the standpoint, too, of how good of a situation is it to be an offensive coordinator and call plays when it's 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 4 or 2nd and 1 instead of, you know, last year a lot of times it was 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9, 2nd and 15. You know, that's not easy to do.
Well, another thing no one's talking about in this whole equation is – how about the fact that Blake Bortles has been hit once in 2 games? That was a sack.
Yeah.
By Leonard Williams,
that's right,
against Shatley on a nice move. Blake had to hold the ball just a little bit and got sacked. I'm not just talking he's been sacked once. He has been hit once.
That's the only time he's been touched.
Yes.
Really?
How about
I don't think
the fact
I realized that.
I mean, how about
– we're not counting the late hit penalty by Quan Alexander.
No,
oh, okay.
He's
so twice.
No, but he's scrambling outside the pocket. That doesn't count. I'm talking in the pocket, where the offensive line breaks down. I believe it's only one time – that's the only time he's been hit. The offensive line has been outstanding, by the way. I had this argument with somebody. So I'm like, no. They have been outstanding. When you're averaging about 5 yards a carry with the first unit and your quarterback's been hit one time, now they've only played – a total of probably 30 plays, 35 plays maybe, I think it is. So I'm not saying, listen, this is the, you know, the best offensive line in football and they got it all figured out, but all we can judge them on is what they've done so far. And so far, I'll go back to what I said, no one has stopped this offense outside of the coaching staff of the Jacksonville Jaguars to step on the field early. That's it. And that's why I'm so excited against a outstanding defensive front. The test for this offensive line, I believe they'll do fine, and I think it's a great confidence booster going in.
You watched the tape, Bucs game?
Yes.
Okay, the one thing, and I brought this up earlier in the week, did you see the job that Julius Thomas did blocking? Point of attack now. Point of attack. Julius Thomas, we talked about this throughout the offseason, about – in order for him to take the next step and get the best matchups, is that he has to become, what was the term we use? A capable, willing blocker. Not a dominant blocker, but a capable, willing blocker.
Not a Mercedes Lewis blocking type.
No, because he'll never be that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not him. But in that game against the Bucs, that was his best blocking effort that I have seen yet. And they ran the ball to him. They'd have Mercedes and him on the field at the same time, and they would run to Julius. And he did a very good job. I was proud to see that. I guarantee the coaches were excited about it. I wanted to ask Gus that question, but I want to see it happen again. It's where it's consistent. I want to see it happen this week against the Cincinnati Bengals before we, you know, kind of broach that subject with Gus Bradley on the show, because, you know, you need to see it twice in order for it to become a pattern instead of, you know, an anomaly. You know, so positive news, because if he becomes a willing, good blocker, it's going to benefit the running game, and it's going to benefit him from a matchup standpoint.
Does it worry you at all that he has 0 catches in 2 preseason games?
Does it worry me? No, just because, I mean, we've seen him practice so many times where he catches the ball. But, you know, the one thing that I do like is that last year when he was on the field, how many times did we see Blake Bortles look at him and lock on to him?
And force it.
Yeah. Because, you know, he almost felt like he had to throw to Julius. Whereas this year, if it's not there, he's not going to keep looking. He's going to look elsewhere. And that's what you want your quarterback to do. You don't want him to feel like he has to throw it to somebody. You know, and that's a great situation to be in when you're a quarterback, when you got A-Rob, Hurns, Marquise Lee, holy cow, he's healthy right now and looking good, having his best preseason yet. But does it concern me? No, Is it something to bear watching? Yes.
Congratulations to Wayne Gordon, the winner of the pair of tickets to the U.S. soccer match coming up at Everbank Field. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. We'll look around the NFL when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details and call now, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. First caller in gets a pair of tickets to the United States of America versus Trinidad and Tobago. Soccer at Everbank Field, World Cup qualifier. Get ready.
Why are you screaming at me, JP?
Soccer, man. Hooligans over here.
Oh, so when you go to your soccer voice, you start
American
screaming.
Outlaws. That's what we're doing over here.
All right.
So first caller in, you can come see the USA.
Say, Bob. I know you're okay. Fighting it. You're putting up a good fight.
Let's go around the National.
Playing hurt tonight, JP. I like that.
You got to fight through.
You're playing hurt.
It's just pain.
The
Browns trade Barkavius Mingo to the New England Patriots in exchange for the Patriots' fifth-round pick in 2017. Remember, the Browns did not pick up the fifth-year option in April of Mingo. What do you say?
There was a lot of people that were having discussions about Mingo. It wasn't just the Patriots. I mean, you go all the way back to the offseason. There were teams that were inquiring about him. Kind of a slightly built outside
kind
rusher.
Of. How about very slight?
Yeah.
Like, eat a cheeseburger.
He's an LSU guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player at LSU.
Really good.
Super fast, but he's like, what, 235, 240? You know,
he's not
pass
rusher. He has no power. I mean, he's got the only chance is, I mean.
But, hey, the Patriots – I still cannot believe that they traded their best pass rusher.
Chandler Jones?
For a guard. I mean, no offense, Tony. But, I mean, a pass rusher for an offensive lineman that's a guard? I mean, really?
Yeah, if he's a tackle, it'd be okay. But I agree.
If it's a left tackle, but a guard?
Well, that's because they weren't – you know, Chandler Jones got in that trouble last year a little bit, and Patriots are a little bit different. They weren't going to sign him to the big contract, and he was going to be a free agent, so they got what they could. And Jamie Collins is their best defense player anyways.
What if you really, really need a guard, though? Then is it okay?
Who really, really needs a guard, JP, for God's sake?
They did last year. Did you watch them?
The Patriots?
They struggled up front.
How far did they get?
Well, Tom Brady covers a lot of sins. And when you have –
they did pretty well.
And when you have, I think they did okay.
Yeah. And you have Gronkowski and Tom Brady, it covers a lot of sins.
Yeah, but
for
my
a lot
point
of
is that you traded the – One of
I'm
the best
with that.
Pass rushers in the league.
I wouldn't
for
have done
guard.
It either, Jeff. I'm not saying that, but they did have 39 different offensive line combinations. They got rid of their offensive line coach, bought back Dante Scarnecchia, the longtime offensive line coach that was there for all the Super Bowls, and they're trying to solidify that because their most precious asset, Tom Brady, the reason they couldn't win in the playoffs, they couldn't protect him. He was getting tattooed. And so I think ultimately they understand their window.
Well, you should have gotten a tackle because Sebastian Vollmer is going to be out for the year.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. Tony, your boy J.J. Watt expects to practice next week coming off a back injury. He was in jeopardy of missing the first couple of games. Back surgery in July. Is it too soon for J.J.? What do you say?
I don't know. Listen, who knows? I don't know what he had done to his back. I don't know exactly what it was. Was it a major procedure, minor? He's a great athlete, and he works hard, supreme condition. You know, it doesn't surprise me that he'll come back maybe quicker than other guys just because of what kind of shape he was in when he got hurt. A lot of that
yeah,
is.
We don't know. I mean, is it quicker? Is it slower?
Yeah, or is it right on time? I mean,
we don't know.
And what's he going to be like when he gets back? What's
don't
his
know.
Strength going to be like?
We'll see.
Does he have this? You know, backs are tricky.
But there's questions. I mean, you
tricky
talked about,
backs.
But, you know, question with his back. You know, there will always be questions about Jadeveon Clowney's knee. He had a microfracture procedure.
Yes. And has never quite been the player they drafted.
No.
Hasn't been on the field much.
Nope. So that hurts them.
Yeah.
Fine by me.
Now, remember, the Jags have the Texans late in the season.
It won't matter. I mean,
right. He'll be back.
We'll know by then whether J.J. Watt's back to himself or it's lingering or, you know, he's out. Who knows? It doesn't matter for us early.
Houston, we have a problem on the offensive line for the Texans, too. Second-round pick and starting center Nick Martin's going to miss the entire season with an ankle injury and surgery. Dwayne Brown won't be ready for the start of the season, a torn quad in the final game last year. They got some O-line issues now.
And I believe Derek Newton, their right tackle, was missed some time as well. I'm not sure if it was a serious injury or something minor. But the big one is Dwayne Brown's big, good player. But the center is where they were
really – He was a high draft pick.
Yes. Second-round pick. They were counting on him to solidify the center of that offensive line. And with him out, I'm not sure what they're going to do. They got rid – I don't think Ben – I thought they let Ben Jones go, or he was a free agent. I don't know if they re-signed him. He played a little bit in there last year. So – they have issues up front.
And no Arian Foster with some issues up front.
They have some issues up front and new quarterback.
who's the backup behind Osweiler?
That's a lot of issues. Right, yeah. Now, I mean, we're talking about a lot of issues with the Texans.
And which is fine offense, by me. It's fine. I'm okay with that. Doesn't bother me one bit.
That's good. That's a good thing.
For the Jaguars and the rest of the division.
Well,
sure.
We do work for the Jaguars.
We are
JP.
Jaguars.
You know, I know you probably don't have this in your notes there, but the team.
What are you trying to say, man?
No, I'm just.
You're not prepared.
What was that?
You know, we just took a shot.
We're talking to division.
How do you know?
I'm going to bring something up.
Go ahead, please.
Because you know if you look at what the Tennessee Titans are doing with their running game, they got a Heisman winner who's averaging 8-9 yards a carry. DeMarco Murray who's averaging like 10 yards a carry, and they've got a quarterback who, once again in the preseason, just like he did in his rookie year, is doing very well. You know, that's the team that I'm sitting there keeping my eye on. You know, you give a football team a strong running game, although they got a lot of questions on defense.
Yeah,
but you give them a strong running game and an efficient quarterback, it's going to give you some headaches right now.
Exotic Smash Mouth, they're calling it.
What was that? I'm trying to think about how I want to say this because I don't want to be –
That's Mike Mularkey's term, by the way.
Right? I know. I'm not going to be disrespectful. I like Mike Mularkey. His offensive lineman, I'd like to play exotic smash mouth, whatever that means. But this team was pretty good against the run last year. Let me say it this way. The weakness of this defense is still rushing the passer. I mean, it is.
And this offense is going to score some points, too.
And so if you're telling me, if I have to take my choices right now, a team that can sling it around all over the field or a team that's going to try to line up and run it down our throats, good luck trying to run it down our throats based on what we saw last year. Now, I think the pass rush is going to be better than last year because Malik Jackson's going to get some push. I think what we've seen from Sendarek Marks, I think he'll get closer back to what he was 2 years ago. I believe that Audric has had a great camp.
Great camp.
I think he's going to rush the passer better. And I do think the two young rushers outside – are going to get it going. Are they going to be dominant this year? I'm not sure, but they'll get it going and add some speed. And I think you're going to see Dan Skuda get some rushes at nickel out there as well. I think he'll do a nice job. So they're going to be better, and with the speed on the back half, they're going to be able to cover better in the blitz game with Miles Jack, Talvin Smith, and everything else. They're going to be able to create a lot of issues. But still, I guess, you know, it's like the St. Louis Rams. They got Todd Gurley. And they're on the Hard Knocks.
Los Angeles Rams.
That's all they got.
Oh, Los Angeles Rams. Thank you.
Yes.
But does that – I mean, if a team is going to say, we're going to line up and just pound it, I'm like, okay, I like this front seven we have. Now, what Jeff did say that does scare me is Marcus Mariota is a wild card because he can throw it efficiently and he can scoot. And we saw that firsthand when he went 85 yards and no one could touch him. So, I think the Titans are going to be better. Their defense just – I have no idea where they're going to get production on that side of the ball.
Quickly, which side are you on, the Chargers or Joey Bosa?
I'm on Bosa's side. I mean, he's got to get a contract that's, you know, that's equal to those around him as the third overall pick.
What the Chargers are saying is that the last offer they made, the only player who would get more money within the first year of their contract would be Carson Wentz. If that's the case, Bosa needs to sign the deal and go. Now – I'm not sure the Chargers are telling the truth.
It's partial truth, Tony.
Probably.
Yes.
But listen, What are you going to do, hold out and miss the whole year? That's stupid. Sign the deal. You play chicken as long as you can. Sign the deal and go to work.
I'd say he sticks to his guns. I mean, the guys that are drafted around him.
So you'd give up a couple million dollars and sit out all year and then be drafted lower next year?
No, but I would stick to principles.
The principles?
Pay me like where I was picked.
Congrats to Mike Christensen. He won the tickets to the soccer game. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday, Jaguars Radio.